How y'all doing? Yes, yes. What's happening, East County, North County, and whoever else is out there in TV land? God bless y'all. Let's give all the bigger hand to all those people out there. God bless you. We got a big football game on right now, San Francisco and Seattle Seahawks, and I was just home watching. I got to come to church so I could get ESPN next later on. How y'all doing today? Are y'all ready for the Word of God? I want to acknowledge a few things. One, I want to acknowledge the Martin Luther King weekend. And Martin Luther King, when I was 3 years old, he gave his famous speech in Washington, D.C. When I was growing up in the 60s, I was born in 1960, there was a lot of racial tension in the United States of America. And me and my family have dealt with a lot of that as kids, parents, grandparents. My grandfather, who's long passed away, was a very dark Jamaican and married a very pale white lady about 90 years ago. And I don't know what that brother went through, a whole bunch of stuff, but we have experienced a lot of that. The stuff you see on TV in black and white video was very real to us. The high school I went to was on a street where on one side of the street was all whites. You could not live there if you were black. And on the other side of the street was the black neighborhood, but we let anybody live in our neighborhood. But you couldn't go on that side of the street and live. And that was a very real thing to us growing up and our kids. And it's a blessing to have a church with all kinds of people in it. Amen. Amen. And sad to say that most churches, and most by a long shot, churches are segregated. Most churches are either all white, all black, and it's a very sad reality of the kingdom of God. I shouldn't say the kingdom of God, of the church world. Heaven will not be that way. They will be very integrated, and I don't know what we're going to look like, but it's going to say all nations, the Bible says. And so we want to get used to being around here. I know that Sunday is maybe the most integrated time of your week when you come around and get to be around a lot around the brownies. And and we love that about The Rock. It's not by necessarily design other than God's design, but we're very, very proud about it. This Saturday, Superfest, we have some pro athletes coming into Point Loma University, Point Loma Nazarene University. And if you want to bring your kids out, you're going to hear the gospel. We'll have Adrian Gonzalez, Allison Felix, Chris Bird, some Charger players, Padre players are going to be out there. And finally, how many of y'all know or watch the show The Doctors? Anybody? Okay, how about you heard of Dr. Phil? So Dr. Phil's son produces his show, and they also produce a show called The Doctors. It comes on Monday through Friday. Four or five medical doctors, and they just talk about medical issues. Well, I'm going to be on The Doctors tomorrow. We filmed it a month ago or so. And talking about Jesus and doing my little Dr. Phil imitation for a young girl who got messed up in her life. But anyway, it's going to be on tomorrow. It depends on where you live. It's on different times. Where I live, on Cox Cable, it's 1:30 in the morning. So I don't know why that is. So I'll just DVR it. But you check it out. And I'm on there talking about the Lord, talking about what God done in my life. And so it'll be a great witness to them. Amen. Yeah. And one day I'll tell you about how that all came about, because it was out of the blue, but it's pretty much supernatural, miraculous thing that happened to have that happen, and what's happening with them and myself. So anyway, how are we going to start the service? Okay, honey, we're going to go pray. That's how my grandmother talked. Okay. All my grandparents were born in Jamaica, West Indies. And my father grew up there. And my one grandmother was white, and my other grandmother was Chinese and black. My grandmother was Chinese and black. Her father came from China, got jungle fever. I don't know what they call it in China, but we know it there. You know what I'm talking about. And he had a baby, and it was my grandmother, and he was never her father. And he went back and had his Chinese family, but he did not care for his daughter, my grandmother. And my Chinese and black grandmother, who just died at 98 years old, and my white grandmother, who died at 92, they knew each other as teenagers in Jamaica. And they both somehow ended up in New York, and their kids got married. Ain't that something? And my grandmother, who was white, when she married my grandfather, the whole family ostracized her, and we never met anybody in her family ever. And they live right down the street. well, you know, met a few miles away. They're lost because we had Grandma Dorothy ourselves. And she used to say, oh, okay. And we called her Obi-Wan Kenobi because she had this coat and it had a point, it had a hood and a point. And she was walking in the house one day, and we all said, hit Grandma with snowballs. So we were throwing snowballs at her, and she's walking in going, you better not hit me. And this is me and my brothers. We're all athletes. We're young kids, and snowballs were just missing her. We could not hit her. So we called her Obi-Wan because she had the Force around her. And that was her name for like another 50 years. So, and then she passed away. Okay, question. How many of y'all want to have a blessed marriage? Then give it to God. Don't give part of it. Give it all to God. How many of you would like to have a blessed career in your life? Give it to God. What does that mean? Is that you conduct it the way God would want you to conduct it? How many of you would like to have a blessed education? Some of y'all in college or high school or just your learning. You want God to bless it. Amen? And bless it means that you don't have to put any more energy in it than you need to, that you do something and God enhances what you do and multiplies the effectiveness. That's what blessed means, at least in the minimum. And how many of y'all want that for your education? How many of you want that for your marriage? How many of you want that for your health? How many of you want that for your money? I'm trying to get paid, huh? Then surrender it to God. Does not mean you give it all to God. It means you say, God, how do you want me to use it? What do you want me to invest? I want to honor you with how I use this. I want to honor you with my body. I want to honor you with my marriage. You honor God, he will honor you. We're going to talk today about having your finances blessed. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your patience. And thank you for supernaturally blessing our lives and offering us more than we can ever ask or imagine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now what do we do? Word! Okay, I'll let you get in your seats. I know some of you takes a long time to get up. Yeah, my leg ain't what it used to be. Let's see your Bible. Say word. Oh, one more time, say word. Very good. Turn to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis 14. If you are a visitor, we started this church in the year 2000, February 2000, so in next month we will be 14 years old. Amen. We have three locations here, North County, East County. We have 13, 14,000 people that attend on a weekend, which averages out to about 25,000 people in the church, give or take. That's people in seats, not online, not television, not radio. We have about 800 small groups, community groups with all our ministries, about 140 ministries volunteer-led in the community. And last year, we gave $4 million worth of volunteer service to our city. And we have grown in the last year by a couple thousand people, basically a lot due to what's happening in East County, adding another church out there. And we're looking to add one in South Bay. We're looking to have an event in City Heights, see if there's interest in City Heights. We have a location to at least do a one-night event. And even though the church has grown, the giving over the last year has kind of not grown. And so today we're going to talk about giving. Now, if you're a visitor and you think, well, I came here the first time and talking about money. Well, it just happened to be that's the time you came. Money is a topic in the Bible that God talks more about than even love, how we deal with money and resources and wealth, because we know he knows we have a tendency to worship our money. But whether it has to do with money, relationships, sex, career, worshiping God, my job is to tell you what the Bible says in all these areas and to put you in a position to win, put you in a position to be blessed. Not talk about things that I think you want to hear as much as things that God wants me to tell you. And then you do with that as you will. So I want to encourage you as you're listening to be listening to the Holy Spirit. and let him guide and direct you in what you should do. Because at the end of the service, we're going to present you with a tithe challenge. We're going to talk about tithing. And the tithe challenge that I'll explain at the end of the season is that you're going to be able to say, listen, I don't tithe now, but I'm going to take the tithe challenge and tithe for 90 days. And if at the end of the 90 days you are not satisfied that God has blessed you, we will give you your money back. So we're going to do that today and next week. And it's like you can't lose. You can just say, okay, God, I'm going to test you. And we'll see, look in the Bible to show you why we're even doing a test. Because the Bible says, actually, God says to test me. So Genesis chapter 14, what is a tithe? A tithe is simply 10%. Matter of fact, if you look in your notes, number one, it says a tithe is the first 10% of what God gives you. There's a little lesson plan in your notes. 10%. Everyone say 10%? Say 10%. So we're going to read that in the Bible. In Acts chapter 14, Abraham had just rescued his nephew Lot, who was kidnapped. He was in a battle and he was kidnapped. His whole town was kidnapped. Abraham rescues them, and on his way back, he runs into a guy named Melchizedek, who a lot of people think is Jesus Christ because the Bible describes him as having no beginning, no end, no parents, and he's eternal priest of God. It's a mysterious character. And look what it says in chapter 14, verse 18. It says, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine as though it was a communion. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And then it says, Abraham gave him a tithe of all. This is the first time you see tithe in the Bible. And tithe literally means a tenth part. Turn to Genesis chapter 28. Abraham's grandson, Jacob, was going to sleep in a field, and the heavens opened up, and he saw angels descending and ascending out of heaven. And he said, this is the house of God, and he makes a covenant with God. Chapter 28 of Genesis, verse 22, the last verse of the chapter, it says, and this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house. This is a stone, represents God's house. It's a mark that this place is God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth part. He commits to tithing. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. Jesus affirms tithing. Matthew 23, the first book of the New Testament. Matthew 23, verse 23. It says, Jesus says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. Matthew 23, verse 23. Woe to you scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you pay your tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, but you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. In other words, I see you giving your money, but you're knuckleheads. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. In other words, I want you to tithe, yes, but I also want you to execute justice, mercy, and faith. Now, some people say, well, you know, tithe is in the Old Testament, even though we just saw it's in the New Testament. And we don't have to do what's in the Old Testament. Let me say something about that concept and that logic. The Old Testament, everything taught in the Old Testament, the spirit of everything taught in the Old Testament applies eternally because it's God's character. In some things, when Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead, he abolished it, but we know what those things are because he tells us. The Bible doesn't say he abolishes tithing. But murder, thou shalt not murder, that's in the Old Testament. We still believe that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. We still believe that. It's Old Testament. So you don't ever want to think that, well, it's an Old Testament, it doesn't apply. Yes, it does. Everything in the Old Testament applies in some form or fashion. There are some things in the Old Testament that God said don't do because of their culture. In other words, when a woman had her customary blood flow, she had to go outside of the camp where the people lived for 7 days until she dried up. That was because of the sanitary issues in the community. It wasn't because women have to do that all the time. So there were certain things, laws they had to protect the people or to keep people healthy based on their culture, but the principle of being healthy was always the same. When it comes to tithing and giving, giving is an eternal principle. God gave us life. God gives us opportunities. God gives us his son, Jesus Christ. God gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts. The Holy Spirit gives us power. God gives us opportunity to exercise that power. God gives us eternal life. Giving, giving, giving is a principle. We would not be here unless something was given to us. Can I get amen? When I was a kid, we went to Catholic school. My mother had 5 kids in 6 years. So we would sit in church at Mass, and she had a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 7-year-old. And we would sit there like we didn't move. I mean, well, we had a kneel, we knelt, we had to stand up, we had to do the sign of the cross, we went for communion, we did everything like robots. Why? Because Dad was home and would whoop us if my mother came home and said, this one acted up. So we were like, we had no child protective services in my neighborhood. Remember that street I was telling you about that we lived on this side? They didn't come over that neighborhood. I'm joking. If we called the police, my father would come because he was the cop. So we had no recourse. But my mother would give us these little white envelopes for all y'all who went to Catholic school. Probably a third or half of you went to Catholic. How many of y'all went to Catholic church growing up? Amen. The nuns taught you to fear the Lord. The nuns taught me to fear the Lord. They ain't mess around. We used to go to church a mass, and then my mother would have this white envelope that the church gave us, and they had a place to put a coin in it. They had a penny slot, a nickel slot, a dime slot, and a quarter slot. How many of y'all remember that envelope? Say amen. And I can't wait to see what I would get. Sometimes I get a penny. Sometimes I get a nickel. Rarely would I get a dollar to give. And she would give all of us an envelope. And when they passed the plate, we would all put our nickel, our dime, our quarter, whatever it is. And I was like, I got a quarter. Bam. She was teaching us to give. You can't walk with God without being a giver. Why? You have to give him praise. You have to give him honor. You have to give him your heart, which is way more valuable than your money. You have to give. And so God said your starter kit is 10%. Okay? Your starter kit. Number two in your notes. Number two. A tithe is a source of blessing. A tithe is a source of blessing. Yes. Turn to Deuteronomy. I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, Old Testament, chapter 31. 2 Chronicles 31. Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 31. God set up the tithe so people can give, so his ministers can minister, not only support them, these lights are on because of giving. This building is here because of giving. But then that the church is able to feed the poor and do the things that they're supposed to do in the community. Look what it says, and that is a principle that is eternal even to this day. 2 Chronicles 31, chapter, verse 4. Moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support to the priests and the Levites, those were the ministers, so that they may devote themselves to the law of the Lord, studying the word of God and ministering the word of God. And as soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of grain and wine, oil and honey, and all the produce of their field. And they brought it abundantly, the tithe of everything. And the children of Israel and Judah, who dwelt in the cities, brought the tithe of oxen, sheep, the tithe of the holy things which were consecrated to the Lord their God, and they laid them in heaps. In the third month, they began laying them in heaps. And they finished in the 7th month. And Hezekiah and the leaders came and saw the heaps. And they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. And Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites who were collecting the tithe concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest from the house of Zadok, said, since the people began bringing the offerings into the house, we have had enough to eat and have had plenty left over, for the Lord has blessed his people, and what is left is his great abundance. God said, I want you to bring the tithe to the storehouse so my priests and my ministers can eat, and later we're going to see minister to the people in need. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the 7th book of the New Testament. Chapter 16. 1 Corinthians is a letter of Paul to the churches in a city called Corinth. 1 Corinthians 16. It says, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 16, 1. Paul says concerning the collection, everyone say collection. Concerning the collection for the saints, he's going to have an offering from them to give to another church. As I have given orders to the churches in Galatia, which is another city, he told them the same thing. So you must also do. He says in verse 2, on the first day of the week, everyone say Sunday. The Jews met on Saturday when Christ lived, died, and rose from the dead on Sunday. They switched the day of worship to Sunday because they wanted to honor and remember that Christ rose from the dead and celebrate the resurrection. We are here on Sunday because we are celebrating and honoring and recognizing the fact that Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. It's like a weekly Easter service, which is why churches meet on Sunday. So he says, on the first day of the week, I want you to lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. Every single week, I want you to take a collection. And I want you to put some of that aside, so when I come, I can just take that to these other churches. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. So I want you every week to take a collection, and I'm part of that, I'm going to come and bring it to the church in Jerusalem. Tithe is a blessing. Turn to Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible. The fifth book of the Bible, chapter 26. Everybody good? Yeah. Whenever you talk about money, people's panties get in a bunch. Just relax, baby, relax. It's all good. You're going to be blessed. Verse 12, Deuteronomy 26, verse 12. When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your incense in the third year, the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled. In other words, when you bring the tithe in, you're going to give it to the Levite who was ministering, the minister, but you're also going to help the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, the people in need. Verse 13, then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house. Everyone look up here for a minute. What he's saying is that your tithe belongs to me. And if it's in your house, you have something that you have that doesn't belong to you. It's holy to the Lord. Now, I know some of you may say, well, all my money is mine. Don't raise your hand. I mean, you can if you want, but some of you believe but it's all mine. All my stuff is mine. This body is mine. My kids are mine. They're on loan. Everything you have is on loan. And everything you have, you got from God. You got your opportunity from God. You got your talent from God. You live in this country. You are alive because of God. And if you really believe that it's not God's and it's not stewardship from God, you need to tell God that, because just so y'all could be on the same page. You need to say to God, God, this is my stuff. Some preacher, you know, The Rock said, this is your stuff and it's on loan from you, but I believe it's mine, so I just want to make sure we're clear. And if you really want to get like that, tell God that he cannot even take it if he wanted it. Now, as a pastor, I would tell you not to say that, because you may go home and your whole apartment building be gone. Not your apartment empty, the whole building gone. But that's something that you probably need to reconcile, because you probably do believe and have the wrong perception of your stuff and even your body, that you can do with what your body you want. You can, but not without consequences. So when you misuse what God gives you, bad things happen. And if you have a child, that child is not yours. You don't own that child. You have been given stewardship, management, responsibilities over that child. You know, I got to do a sermon on abortion, because I never have. And I really need to do one. But this whole argument about it's a woman's body. It's not your body. That's another person's body. I am not my mother's body, but yet I was in her. I was a separate person. I had my own heartbeat, my own brain, my own bones. How is it that it's her body? It's my body. It's my body that you're going to suck out and rip to pieces, not her body. And your womb is a safe place that God put that body into. And so everything you have is on loan from God, saying, God, what do you want me to do with this? And so what he's saying here is that when you give your tithe, look what he says in verse 13. It says, then you shall say to the Lord, I have removed the holy tithe from my house. The thing that belonged to you, God, the 10% you want back, I'm not holding it anymore. I've given it away and I've done what you said. And then it says, I also given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to your commandment, which you have commanded me, and I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I've done the right thing. Then in verse 14, I have not eaten any of it when in mourning. I didn't eat or spend it on myself. I have not removed it and used it for any unclean thing. I haven't given it to the dead or dedicated to something wrong. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have done according to all that you commanded. Look down now, Lord, because I've done that, from your holy habitation, and bless Israel and the land which you have given us, just as you swore, a land full of milk and honey, flowing with milk and honey. In other words, God, we did exactly what you said. Now bless our land. Milk, may our cows bear milk. May our fruits and vegetables grow. Honey comes from a flower. A flower has the fruits and vegetables. So may our land be fruitful, because we have given back from what you have given us. You gave us the land. You gave us the crops. You gave us the animals. You gave us the rain. You gave us the dirt. You gave us the grass. You gave us all the fruits and vegetables and the plants. You gave us that. So we are honoring you to give it back to you so we can minister to the people in need. So since we did that, will you bless us? God has told some of y'all to give something, and you're holding it to yourself. You have a curse on your stuff. I'm going to tell you more about that in a minute. It's like God telling you to apologize to somebody. How many of you ever said something you shouldn't have said and you feel like, man, that was wrong? God says, you need to apologize, and you start getting convicted. Amen? Amen? And then you don't do it. And you're like, and you try to talk yourself out of it. It's not that bad. I'm feeling right bad right now. And you're telling yourself over and over again, and it's because you have something that you were supposed to give away. And it's eating at you. Number three. A tithe is a offering. Offerings are over and above your tithe. An offering is over and above your tithe. In other words, when we say tithe and offering, those are actually two separate things. Tithe goes to is the regular 10% giving. And by the way, 10% of your gross or your net, you have to ask, do you want God to bless your gross or your net? Offering is for a specific project. Moses took an offering to build the tabernacle. David took an offering to build the temple. We took an offering, our Pervasive Hope campaign, we wanted to pay for that with offerings over and above tithe to go to a very specific project. One, the churches we want to build here in San Diego. We also collected the offering to pay down debt, thus we refinanced our building. We also wanted to take the offering, the Pervasive Hope offering, to do international missions in Haiti. We now have an orphanage in Haiti. And that orphanage, we are getting ready to buy a kitchen that is going to feed 1,000 people a day. The kitchen has the potential, the capacity to feed 6,000 people a day in a place where there's no food for a lot of people. They don't eat at all. And when we get the kitchen, we're going to buy the kitchen, we are going to get the food for 1,000 people a day for free from another ministry that wants to give us the food. Recently, we found a baby in the dump that was left to die in a dump. Pigs were eating around the baby. So I'm going to show you a picture of the baby before when we found him. His name is Daniel. That's what he looked like when we found him. And he was left there to die. No one was there to care for him. He was just left there in the garbage, in the dump, thrown away like trash. And this is what he looks like now. Boom. Amen. Amen. That particular baby is alive today because of what you have given. He was put in a dump to die. He is alive today because of what you have given. And we have since had another baby born on the beach, left to die. That baby is alive. There are six babies that the government has offered to us very recently. We couldn't take them because we didn't have room, and they all died. It's life and death. You can go buy a latte. You can go to In-N-Out. Or you can say, God, you know what? This 10%, go save a life. This can happen right here in San Diego. There's people right here in San Diego who are hungry. I'm going to have a grandson in 5 months. My grandson's going to be born in a very different situation than that little Daniel. And when I saw that picture the other day, I was like, okay, that kid has got my heart now. That kid's got destiny all over him. And I'm going to get my grandson to meet that kid. And I'm saying, how can they write letters back and forth, you know, from when they're little and start sending pictures to each other? You know how you sponsor a kid? Well, how about two kids just sponsoring each other? And how about, can you imagine if all y'all had a kid in Haiti that's part of our family? We have a building, we're getting ready to get a building if we get the money to have 700 seats for a church. This is what we're talking about. We're not talking about, hey, you know, trying to just build, make people rich. It ain't about being rich. It's about helping. The more people money we get, the more people can get help based on God's design of tithing. Number four in your notes, a tithe was a sign of appreciation and trust because actually everything belongs to God. It was a sign of appreciation saying, God, I am giving this back to you for one of many reasons. I just want to acknowledge that it's yours. It's not mine. Number five, a tithe is not giving, it's returning. Now, what do you mean? Well, God gave it to you in the first place. And then he said, what you going to do with it? He gave you your kids. What you going to do with it? Give it back to him. What does that mean? Lord, I want to honor you with everything I have. I'm going to give you the 10%, and I'm going to secure a blessing on the rest. Number six is giving a tithe is a heart issue, not a money issue. Only tithe haters don't tithe. In other words, tithe haters are people who don't tithe. Why? Because they haven't experienced the blessing of tithing. How many of y'all have experienced the blessing of tithing? Say amen. 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 What does that mean? Okay, turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6 says, verse 19, first New Testament book. Bless you. Chapter 6, verse 19, it says, do not lay for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth, rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me explain to you what this is not saying. It's not saying you can't have a lot of nice stuff. Sure you can. You can't be wealthy. Sure you can. Even though in our culture, people are trying to make wealthy people feel guilty, there's nothing unbiblical about being wealthy at all. Matter of fact, God is filthy rich. He owns everything. Don't trip on that. But what you don't want to do is hoard everything to yourself so in this life you could say, look what I got, only. You want to say, Lord, you have blessed me with the ability to make wealth. You have blessed me with the ability to have stuff. How can I honor you with it and leverage it to build the kingdom of God? Some of it you're going to give away. Some of it you're going to use to have Bible study. When I had my wife and I bought our first house in Rancho Penasquitas, these Filipino kids were throwing beer bottles on my lawn. I had never seen a Filipino person in my life. I did not know what nationality they were. Oh, no, I know now. I'm with you. I've been to the Philippines a couple times. I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. Kamusta ka? Mabuti. Kamusta ka? Okay. Y'all know kamusta ka? Kamusta ka? Like, como estas? How are you? In Tagalog. Am I correct? And then if you say I'm doing fine, you say mabuti. Mabuti. Maganda ka? Yes, not you. Her. Pogi. Maganda ka, you're very beautiful. So anyway. So I didn't know what these kids were, right? They were brown, they had the hair moosed out, and you know, I went out there and I said, this is back in the day. I said, yo, can y'all stop throwing beer bottles on my lawn? I said, by the way, what are y'all? Exactly what I said. What are y'all? Y'all, I don't know. And they said, oh, we Filipino, man. We Filipino. I said, okay, Filipino, don't throw the beer bottles on my lawn. My house became Bible study for them. My kids were babies, literally babies, 3, 2, 1. And my house, it wasn't my house. It was God's house. He enabled us to have the house. Me being in the ministry started in that house with those kids, which I have still in my life, and still some go to this church 20-something years later. We had 9 nationalities in that house. Kids coming in. We didn't know these kids. We would go to Manila Mesa, Mira Mesa, where they call it Manila Mesa. Where do you live? Oh, National City. You've been to Mira Mesa? Okay, Mira Mesa was like 50. I don't know what the real percentage was, but it was like 90%. Anybody here from Mira Mesa? You know what I'm saying. And I would go to parties with these kids and just say, hey, come to my house for Bible study. It was not my house. God, I want to use this house to build the kingdom. I'm going to use my car to build the kingdom. That's what laying up what it says, don't lay up treasures in earth. It's like lay up treasures in heaven. God gave me that house, and that in that house, a bunch of kids got saved. A bunch of kids got married and are still married to this day with kids now who are teenagers. And by the way, kids who are in their 20s. From these teenage kids, they now have kids who are in their 20s from that ministry. Going to church. That's laying up treasure in heaven by what you have. Now turn to, right before Matthew, turn to Malachi, the book right before Matthew, the last page of the New Old Testament. Turn to Malachi chapter 3, and I want you to take out the tithe challenge. And all the campuses, take out this tithe challenge, this card. Now, let me explain how this card is going to work. And we had a conversation with our board about this, because when you start talking about giving people their money back, we want or saying if God doesn't bless you, because we don't want to put God on the spot unless God says to put me on the spot. The tithe challenge works like this. You fill it out, give us contact information, and you make a commitment to tithe 10% of your gross and everything you make, tips included. And what I mean by that, everything. Okay, you may get a little cash on the side, you don't report. Hey, that's between you and the government, but that's not between you and God. And you say, God, I'm gonna give 10% based on your word, and if after 90 days you are not blessed according to what we're going to read right now, you come back and say, God was not faithful. I want my money back. And they'll ask you a few questions about what faithful means to you. We'll talk about that in a minute. And if you say, no, God was not faithful, we'll say, okay, all your documentation is correct. If you come and say, hey, I gave $1 million. Oh, we did it all in cash. No, it's read the directions very carefully, we'll give you money back. And here's why. Let's read. Chapter 3, Malachi, verse 8. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Remember we said the tithe was holy to the God. It belongs to God. And if it's in your possession, you are robbing God. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Let me talk about what a curse means. Now, a curse can mean stuff as bad as happening, but in the least, a curse means that God is withholding blessing. How many of you have worked real hard for something, whether it be getting in shape, studying for a test, trying to get a promotion to your job? You work, and you get nothing. It's like you're hitting your head against the wall. Anybody, anything? Can I get an amen? How many of you have gotten money, more money, and yet you seem not to be able to enjoy it any more than what you had before? It's just like it kind of just flew away like a bird. Can I get an amen? How many of you have seen your money literally fly? The Bible says it grows wings like eagles and flies away. How many of you have seen that happen in your life? And you just said, bye. Why are you leaving? And it just said, I don't know, but I got to go. And it just left. Can I get an amen?
That's called a curse. And what I mean by that is that you're doing all this effort, you're even actually getting stuff, or you may have a date and everything's great about this person, but just it's not working. It's not blessed. In some instances, God is not going to allow you to enjoy it because there's sin. And some of you can get double your salary and you will still be miserable. Why? Because it's not the money. It's not the money. Money is not going to put peace in your heart. It's just going to make you think you can have it. So God says, you're on your own. Go ahead. That's the curse. And some of you are cursed because you're doing all the stuff in life. You can actually see things in your life. People, things, cars, houses, money, cash, balance sheets that are supposed to make you happy. And you're like, why am I not happy? Because you're not blessed. So God says, oh yeah, you got stuff, but you're robbing me. So therefore you're cursed. You're never gonna get there. And then here's what kills you. You see people with less than you. Like, I mean less than you. And they are so happy. And you're like, ugh. And then you go get a drink. Or you go buy another, you go to K and buy another diamond. You're like, I'm still not happy. You're not blessed. You want to get to the point where no matter what you have, you go, I'm good. I got drama over here. I got this over here. But I am so good. That is blessed. And there's some of you in here, you work, and you're like this with your money. I went to see The Lone Survivor the other day, and it was part of the movie. I was just so tense like this. And I felt myself wearing myself out because I was so tense, and I had to relax. Some of you are wearing yourself out trying to keep your stuff, and you are not happy. Because God's not in it. God's like, relax, open your fingers. And he's going to take it away. You go, and you're going to go, and God's like, relax. And then he's going to put something else in it. And then you're going to be tempted to do that. No. Keep your hand off it. Look what it says. Verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And then it says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, so we can minister to people and help and do ministry, you know, all the ministry that is done. And then it says, and test me. Everyone say, test me. It's the only time in the Bible God says, test him. He's like, put up or shut up. That's what he's saying. Put up or shut up. Let's see what happens. See what I do. Because he knows how much we love our money. It's the only place he says, test me. And it says, if I would read this, look in your Bible. It says, if I test me and says the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it. Whoa, Jack. God says, test me. And if you do your part, I will open the window of heaven and you will have so much blessing you can't handle it. Come on, God, you gonna do that? I just said it. Now, some of y'all are going, that's too good to be true. You got no faith. You're calling God a liar. Oh, you're just trying to manipulate me to get me to give. Yes, I am. I'm not trying to manipulate you because I'm telling you up front what the Bible says. And here's the catch. 90 days go by, you ain't happy, we'll get your money back. What do you got to lose? Everything to gain. Now, some of you are going to come back and say, I want my money back. Okay, how much you get? I gave $75. That means you made $750 in 3 months? Okay, tell me, did God bless you? Oh, not really. Well, tell what happened, because I want you to pay attention to what God does. Well, you know, I did get a wife, and my salary doubled, and I don't have any cancer anymore, but I'm still not happy. I want my money back. Well, you know what? If God can't even make you happy, your $75 ain't going to do it either. Let's get on our knees. North Campus, East County, get on your knees. Everybody got their card up? You got the card? Let's see the card. Much is good. Very good. Okay, here's the deal. Let me be crystal clear.
The blessing God is talking about is not necessarily money. Everyone say, not necessarily money. It could be peace. It could be a spouse. It could be an amazing job that you love making less money. It could be the joy that you've never had before by giving. It could be a reconciled relationship, things that are way beyond worth any much you can get. It could be a wife, which is worth more than any amount of money you can get, as long as she's a good wife. Because if you get a bad spouse, take the money. For real, you don't want to marry the wrong person. But my point is that don't say, well, okay, I'm giving my $100, where's my million? Don't have that in your head. I want you to say, I'm tithing faithfully. And some of you have the ability to make up all last year because you didn't tithe. I'm getting right with God. I don't care what that person's doing. I don't care what that person's doing. I'm looking God in the eye and say, I'm getting right with you. And then here's what you do. Say, God, you said it in your word that you would open up the windows of heaven. I'm watching. And then you watch. And you tell us. Trust is, you tell us what happens. We're going to be here. We're right here. And if you say, in 90 days, he didn't do nothing. Okay, here. But you better be telling the truth. And you better not say, he didn't do nothing, here's your money. Walk out and say, and God stop you in the corner and say, you going to tell me I didn't bless you? I would challenge you to write it down. Keep a journal. Say, God, here's a pen and paper. I want to see what you're going to do today. Now, make sure all the rest of your life is in order. Don't go out and tithe and then go kill somebody and complain to God you went to prison. But you bless him. See what he does. You want miracles in your life? Here we go. This is a part of that. Lord, we pray you open up the window of heaven. And by the way, after I pray, I'm going to challenge you to get right back in your seat and fill it out before you leave. And all the campus, as soon as I finish praying, get right back in your seat, fill out that card and put it in the offering box and start giving. And if you're online, you could fill out the card online. Lord, I pray that you would open up the windows of heaven on these people even now, but in advance of them giving. That you would start working in that on behalf of their life. Lord, because I know how you work. You are awesome. And I pray you give people faith to trust you for 90 days. See what would happen. You can't make it any easier for them. This requires very little trust. But Lord, I pray you rock their world. I pray you blow their mind. I pray you reveal yourself and show yourself strong on behalf of all these people who are going to trust you in all the campuses. And I pray as I say amen here in 30 seconds that you sit right back in your seat and you fill out your card and you take the challenge. And for all you who are going to give, we pray you bless the offering of the people that are already giving, that you bless their tithe and continue to bless them as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sit right back in your seat. Fill out the card. And we're going to have a little background music like you're at the spa. This is spa music. And then there's people down here who want to pray for you. And if you have finished filling out your card and you're ready to leave, there are exits on all the levels, and you may leave if you're done and give your offering at the box. God bless y'all.